Hey everyone, it's Steve Baker. It's time for another 5 and 10. As usual, before I get started, please don't forget to like this video and follow my Rumble channel, or like and share and follow wherever else that you're listening to this podcast. Those likes, follows, and shares and the 5-star ratings, particularly on Apple Podcasts, really helps. All right, number one, as you've already heard, former President Trump has announced that he has received notification from the DOJ that they are now investigating him for additional charges. Now, these are specifically related to January 6th. Presumably, he inflamed the so-called insurrection by his speech at the Ellipse that day and then participated in a conspiracy to stop the election certification. I'm going to put a quick stamp on this story. First of all, those of you who have followed me for any amount of time know that I've never been a Trump guy. That said, I've always tried to honestly call balls and strikes on whatever policy issues, statements, and actions he made during his presidency. Sometimes I said hashtag good Trump, and sometimes I said hashtag bad Trump on each individual issue. I did not vote for him in 2016, but I did give him my vote in 2020, mainly to block what I assumed to be the coming horror of what would be the Biden administration should they take power. Of course, that's exactly what they did. Related to January 6th, I've always said I don't care whose desk my investigations ultimately lead me to as to the cause of what happened that day. Whether it's just general government incompetency or a conspiracy committed by House Speaker Pelosi at the time or President Trump himself, I don't care. I only want the truth. But if they try to hang this on Trump based on the content of his speech or even his alleged inaction after the riots began, I will go to the mat for him. I was there and I know too much about what really happened and the timelines in which they took place. So unless the Department of Justice produces a smoking gun phone call or documents of some kind pointing to an actual conspiracy that he led, committed, or initiated, I will throw everything I have at discrediting this new possible indictment. So stay tuned. Number two, I will not stop harping on this. As I've been saying for the last 3 years, do you think COVID was the biggest planetary psyop in world history? May have been at the time, but you ain't seen nothing yet. I've repeated that often over and over the past 3 years, specifically related to the coming climate change narrative. And now the people behind this agenda are saying everything now with their outside voices. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has openly stated now that, and I quote, what we have learned from the COVID crisis will now apply to the climate crisis. Many believe that the COVID lockdowns were a trial run for another scarier pandemic in the future, or maybe even in the works. Well, I mean, who knows? But I do know that they have been in development of and making preparations for the climate lockdowns that are coming for decades, especially preparing the minds of the last 3 or 4 generations of school children to accept out of some existential fear whatever orders, mandates, and emergency changes to our lifestyles and to our cultures will be necessary somehow for some reason to save the world and avoid the coming alleged extinction of the human race. Jeffrey Tucker just today tweeted an interesting list of what he called uncanny COVID climate parallels. And they are, one, extreme fear-mongering. Yeah, he's got that one. The next one was image manipulation. Yep, check on that. The next was speculative models brandished as fact. Well, that's overwhelmingly accurate, Jeffrey. Number four, everything stated as dogma. Yes, it's absolute dogma. It's religious dogma, it seems, especially when it comes to either COVID or climate change. The next one he said were questions are denounced as denialism. And of course, what he means by that is very simple. We can't ask questions. We can't question the narrative. We can't question the experts without being accused of being denialists, vaccine denialists, COVID denialists, climate change denialists. The next one he listed, the MSM and big tech, are in lockstep. Well, obviously, that's an exact parallel on the two situations. And finally, he said, top demand of all of these experts is for us to stop doing whatever that we're doing. Dead nuts on, Jeffrey. Thanks for the list. Number three, the Republican-led House Committee on Oversight and Accountability held a hearing today with two IRS agents, Gary Shapley and a second individual initially identified as Whistleblower X, who claimed that the Justice Department improperly interfered with a years-long investigation into Hunter Biden. In the hearing today, an IRS supervisor described the Biden case as a, quote-unquote, tax investigation very different from any other case in my 14 years. He went on to say that at every stage, decisions were made that benefited the subject of the investigation. Evidence was withheld from the IRS, and the Biden family attorneys threatened prosecutors with career suicide if they brought charges against Hunter. In Whistleblower X's opening statement, he said the IRS recommended felony charges against Hunter. The IRS also found Biden income from China, Ukraine, and Romania. Also, the Department of Justice divulged its investigation info to Biden's own attorneys, and then also to Joe Biden's presidential transition team. Now, Whistleblower X has ultimately been identified as IRS Special Agent Joseph Ziegler. He is a self-proclaimed Democrat, he's gay, and he's married to another man. So he's hardly a partisan GOP hack bringing this testimony to Congress. But of course, nobody watching CNN or MSNBC would know anything about what's happening in these hearings, as they're not seemingly covering this story at all. Additionally, it's quite amazing how many times the Democrat committee members have diverted attention away from this hearing's purpose by bringing up the indictments against Trump and mentioning Trump's name in so many other circumstances rather than focusing on the actual subject at hand. In fact, FBI whistleblower Steve Friend, he tweeted today that we should have been playing a drinking game, taking a shot every time the Dems referred to Trump. If that was the case, I would be too drunk to be doing this 5 and 10 right now. Number four, the New York City Department of Health is pushing reparations as an answer to racial and wealth inequities among New Yorkers, according to a new report. Amazingly, they have the gall to actually assert this. They say, a reparations program such as federally paid cash to black descendants of enslaved people would eliminate the black-white wealth gap, thereby promoting racial equity, if the payment amounts established by the program were predicated on the average difference in black and white wealth. What does that sound like to you? I mean, but before we get there, how in the hell do they intend to eliminate the black-white wealth gap? New York City's mayor, Eric Adams, had previously been on the record as saying, we need to zero in on some of those corporations and companies that the foundation of their wealth came from slavery. This is long overdue and something I supported for many years. I mean, I have to ask, what are they going to do? Actually take away white-owned businesses or the multi-million dollar penthouses from the white owners in New York City and give those to blacks in some kind of lottery in order to level the playing field? Maybe move whitey into some of the slums in New York City? Before we go there, how about we get into the wealth of self-made billionaire blacks like Oprah Winfrey, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, and a myriad of pop and rap stars? Are they actually going to redistribute their wealth to the poor white people of Appalachia? Are these people even aware that there are far more whites who live below the poverty line than there are blacks as totals of the comparative populations? Look, at the end of the day, this is nothing more than a Marxist redistribution scheme, but one in which the more favored groups are awarded for nothing other than their skin color more than any other merit-based metric. Number five, Country Music Television has pulled Jason Aldean's music video entitled Try That in a Small Town in response to media outrage. In this music video, Aldean calls out left-wing violence, specifically violence against law enforcement. Apparently, this is controversial and hateful, according to the left. Check out these lyrics from Aldean's song. He says, sucker punch somebody on a sidewalk, carjack an old lady at a red light, pull a gun on the owner of a liquor store. You think it's cool? Well, act a fool if you like. Cuss out a cop, spit in his face. Stomp on the flag and light it up. Yeah, you think you're tough? Well, try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Of course, if you're rapping about drugs, murdering people, or burning down cities, you get a pass from the same outraged mob. Alding responded in a tweet, and this is what he said. He said, "In the past 24 hours, I have been accused of releasing a pro-lynching song and was subject to the comparison that I, direct quote, was not too pleased with the nationwide BLM protest. These references are not only meritless, but dangerous. There's not a single lyric in the song that references race or points to it, and there isn't a single video clip that isn't real news footage. And while I can try and respect others to have their own interpretation of a song with music, this one goes too far." Alding continues, "Try that in a small town, for me, refers to the feeling of a community that I had growing up, where we took care of our neighbors, regardless of differences of background or belief, because they were our neighbors, and that was above any differences. My political views have never been something I've hidden from, and I know that a lot of us in this country don't agree on how we get back to a sense of normalcy, where we go at least a day without a headline that keeps us up at night. That's what this song is about." But rappers can say anything they want, like the following. DMX, you might recall their song where it says, and I quote, "If you got a daughter older than 15, I'm a rape her. Take her on the living room floor right there in front of you. Then ask you seriously, what you gonna do?" Or maybe you remember Ice Cube's lovely song where he said, "So don't follow me up and down your market, or your little chop suey ass will be a target of the nationwide boycott. Juice with the people, that's what the boy got. So pay respect to the black fist, or we'll burn your store right down to a crisp." The overt hypocrisy of the left continues without abatement. We're not going to let them get by with it, though. So go check out Aldine's song. It's actually great. I'll provide the link wherever you watch or hear this podcast. Okay, that's it for today. Please consider joining my Locals community where I share content I don't put out anywhere else. It's free to subscribe, but for as little as $5 per month, you can help me with my ongoing investigations into government weaponization and also the coming January 6th stories. Well, not just the coming ones, the ones that I've done in the past, but we've got a bunch in the, there's some good stuff coming in the hopper. Trust me. Simply go to tpc4usa.com. That's TPC, the number 4usa.com. Or from your app store, download the Locals app and then search for at tpc4usa. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Truth Social with the same handle, at tpc4usa. Thank you so much for joining me once again today, and I'll see you again very soon with another 5 and 10.